Today, continuing the series on Through His Eyes, seeing people through God's eyes. Today's message, simply eight words. Eight words. And if you'll turn to the book of Philippians, in the New Testament, chapter 2. If you get to Ephesians, just go one more book. Are you there already? Everybody's on electronics today. I didn't hear any pages turning. You're ahead of me. That's great. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. He says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." You know, as Christians, they should be willing. We should be willing servants. Not serving God out of duty or obligation, but with an exuberance that represents Jesus in an appealing way. Amen. You know, it's interesting how many Christians go around looking like they've been sucking on a lemon. But they have the joy of the Lord, but it's hard to convince people. And the joy of the Lord is not about being happy, because happy is based on circumstances, right? I mean, things are going good, we're happy. If things are fine, we're happy. But you see, joy of the Lord, joy comes from God. It doesn't come from anything else. It doesn't come from people, places, or things. And no matter what's happening, if things are good, we still have joy. If things are bad, we still have joy, the joy of the Lord. Now, we may not be happy about what's going on, but we still have joy. And we can still smile, and we can speak to people without dumping our dump truck on them and saying, "Woe is me." We need to, you know, if you're a Christian, as he says here, you've been given light to shine on darkness. Do you realize that? If you're a Christian, if you're a born-again believer, you've been given the light of Christ. And that responsibility is to shine that light on darkness. Amen. Matthew tells us we're to be salt and light. And he goes on to say, "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." You see, Jesus gives us that light to put it on a lampstand, not as a boastful, arrogant way, but just to let it shine. Amen. Let it shine out of us. And that's what he's saying here. You know, a lot of people will serve God, but, you know, "Oh, yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it because they need somebody to do it." No, don't do it for that. Do it because you want to do it for the Lord. The Bible says, "Do all things not unto men." Don't work as unto man, but work as unto the Lord. Do it as unto God. You know, I believe there's some people here that are in here today who need to let your light shine. As I said earlier, start by telling your face that you have the joy of the Lord. Okay? That's better. I'm seeing some smiles. Some of you are just gritting your teeth at me, right? You're not smiling. Tell your face you have the joy of the Lord. And it because we need to reflect that joy. We're supposed to be a reflection of the joy that we have. And that's what light looks like. Not a staid frown, grunt every now and then. Somebody says, "Hey, how you doing?" Good. See, when something's needed, when there's a need, when God has a need in the kingdom and you have the ability to meet that need, meet it joyfully and gladly through His eyes. Through His eyes. Think about His eyes. How many of you know someone somewhere in your life that you perceive as just absolutely impossible to reach for Jesus? Yeah. Everybody knows somebody like that, right? It's like just no way there, right? Let's turn to the book of Jonah. And I want us to look there for a minute. It's a short book. It's tucked between Obadiah and Micah. So if you find one of those, you're close. Jonah chapter 3. You know, I think all of us have at times, at some point in time, or even now, today, see somebody and know somebody that we just think, man, I'd like to kind of share God with them, but man, there's no way they're going to hear it. There's just no way God can touch them. Well, we're going to talk about that a little more in a little bit. Jonah chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. I want you to underline in your Bible the second time. That's real important. Because you see, God had already spoken to him once. And he didn't listen to it. How many of us know that, you know, it's really not a good thing to have God have to tell you twice? Yes, sir. You know, in Jonah's time here, God had told him back in the beginning of this book, he wanted him to go to Nineveh and take Nineveh a word from him. And he didn't want to. He didn't want to do it. He didn't like Nineveh. He didn't like the Ninevites. And so he took off in the other direction. And of course, we all know what happened. He got on a boat to try to just get away from God. And of course, God kind of just laughed at him and stirred the sea up with a storm. And, you know, these guys said, what's going on here? And he's sleeping in the bottom of the boat. And they say, wake up. You know, maybe cry out to your God. Maybe he'll have mercy on us. Somehow or another, they knew he was a Christian. He knew he was a believer. He served God. But anyway, he said, yeah, this is all about me. I know he's doing this. Just, what do you want us to do? Throw me overboard. Okay, they did. Of course, God had a big fish ready to swallow him up. And then as the story goes, 3 days later, he spit him up on the beach. And so he says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. Now, I don't know how you read that. The way I read that, it takes you 3 days to walk across the city. It's how extensive it was. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk, and then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You see, this is the second time God told him to share this, to go. And he didn't want to go because they were adversaries, they were mean people to Israel. Jonah didn't want to forgive them, and he sure didn't want God to forgive them. You see, Jonah lacked something for those people that God had. He lacked compassion, the compassion God had for him. Look at verse 11. I don't know if it's 10 or 11. 10. Verse 10. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Do you lack compassion for people? You see, you'll never see through his eyes until you have his compassion for people. In verse 4, Jonah finally obeyed God, and he spoke 8 words to the people of Nineveh. Only 8 words. And an entire city repented and came to God. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overcome. 8 words in the lives of 120,000 people were changed. Their destiny changed because of 8 words. That's all he spoke, 8 words. Imagine that. And 120,000 people turned. 8 words. Are there 8 words maybe that you need to speak to someone in your life? Well, what 8 words? Well, I'll just maybe something like this. Maybe I forgive you for what you've done. I forgive you for what you've done. 8 words. It's just 8 words. But you know what? Those 8 words can do so much. They can release that person from a burden, from guilt. 8 words, you know what? 8 words can release you from holding on to something that keeps you in emotional captivity. 8 words can bring someone from light, from darkness to light. Amen. 8 words. Impossible people, listen to me. Impossible people only exist in our mind. Scripture says nothing is impossible with God, Amen. Right? True? Yes. Well, some of you believe that. It does say that, okay? You can look it up. Scripture says nothing is impossible with God. Well, nothing includes people. There are no impossible people with God. You see, impossible only happens when we refuse to obey God, when we refuse to embrace His compassion for people. You see, once Jonah obeyed God, 120,000 people were not impossible. Let me share something with you that turned me around in this. Fairly early on in my Christian life, I had an older half-brother who was an outlaw, like me, before I got saved. Only he was like double, triple, whatever. And for a long time, I knew I needed to witness to him. And I wouldn't do it because you know what I thought? There's no way. He is so wild and crazy and out of sight and off the chart. God can't speak to him. And several times God prompted me to witness to him. Even set me up with an opportunity where it was just him and I. And I didn't do it. Because I just thought, he's impossible. Sometime after that, he was in a bad accident, thrown from a vehicle, and he was in a coma. And after that, I had the privilege of going into his hospital room with his children and helping them make a decision to unplug him from life support. Let me tell you, that changed my mind about people being impossible. I have witnessed to people that people have asked me to come witness to their family members or whatever, and people have said things like, now he may just throw you out or run you off. I don't care. I'll leave if he wants me to leave. But, you know, it's not impossible. And usually, you know, those that are the hardest are just waiting. Amen. They're just waiting for someone. There's nobody that's impossible for God. 8 words can change your life. James 2:13. You know what James 2:13 says? Mercy, it said, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. But mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy, underline that. Mercy triumphs over judgment. You see, I was judging my half-brother, saying, I judged him, saying, there's no way. God says mercy triumphs over judgment. You know, we see people in situations and doing things that we don't agree with or may be wrong, but, you know, mercy triumphs over judgment. Amen. That doesn't mean accept sin, but mercy is something that we all have been given, especially through Christ. Amen. I remember a godly man speaking 8 words to me when I was in my late 20s. He was a general manager for a large insurance company that I worked for. And every month I'd have a business meeting with him and then a one-on-one with him. And He would never leave that meeting, let me out of that meeting, without asking me how my personal life was going, how I was doing, how things were going, and I'd share with him. And he'd always end the conversation with these eight words: "You're trying, but you can't do it alone. You're trying, but you can't do it alone." And you know, somehow in my spirit, I knew he was talking about God. And it took a long time, but after a while, it sank in. And because he'd always tell me those eight words had a big influence on me coming to Christ and even looking for Christ. "You're trying, but you can't do it alone." It was just eight words. Just eight words. And those eight words had an impact on my life for eternity. You see, I believe there's eight words that all of us can share with people we see on the street. I believe there's eight words for all of us. And, you know, like I said, maybe those eight words are "I forgive you for what you've done." Maybe it's another eight words of something else. Nigel, would you come? But I know there's eight words that every one of us here can use. There's eight words here that every one of us need. These are eight words that we can share at work. We can share with someone on the street. We can share with someone at school. Anywhere, at any time. And these eight words have changed their life. And I want to share these eight words with you. And I believe that I share them all the time with people. I mean, all the time. I say all the time. I mean, I share them often when the Holy Spirit prompts me to with people. And a lot of times they're strangers, total strangers. Might be in the course of a conversation. But I want you to see these eight words. Can we put those up? Jesus loves you and cares about your life. Jesus loves you and cares about your life. Now, as you look at those words on the screen, you just read them and they're words. They're just words reading on the screen. And maybe they mean something to you. But you know, they may mean something when they're being spoken to you. But I can tell you, they mean a lot more when they're spoken to you. You know, I could stand up there and say, "Look at these words on the screen," and read them to you. But if I come to you and I look you in the eye and I say, "Cindy, Jesus loves you and cares about your life," it's different than just reading them off the screen, isn't it? You see, when someone looks you in the face and they tell you that Jesus loves you and he cares about your life, and I mean that from my heart, it makes a difference. We can read it in the Bible. We can read it all through the Bible. We do. It's written all through the Bible. But when someone looks you in the face with eyes of compassion and they say, "Jesus loves you and cares about your life," it's different than just hearing it or reading about it. And I believe every one of us in here can have opportunities to share those eight simple words. Jesus loves you. Yes, he loves you and cares about your life. Frankie, Jesus loves you and he cares about your life. He really does. The question is, do we have that? Do we have God's compassion? Do we have God's compassion for people to share that with them? To be brave enough and tell them that? I wish I'd told my half-brother that. Just Jesus loves you, John, and cares about your life, and just let it go at that. Because you see, that's all God wants us to do. His Spirit does the rest. His Spirit will do the rest. You just have to have compassion for them. And when you look them in the eyes, they've got to see that in your eyes, that you mean it. Jessica, Jesus loves you and He cares about your life. He really does. Because He cares about our life. And He wants us to care about others' lives. Just eight words. Eight words. Let's pray together. Maybe you're here today and that's the first time you've heard those words. Maybe it's the first time you've read them off of a screen. But let me tell you, Jesus loves you and cares about your life. Everybody's sitting here today. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Doesn't matter what you're experiencing. Jesus loves you and cares about your life. He wants you to care about other people's lives as well. Care about them enough to tell them the good news. That's why the Bible calls it good news. Isn't that good news? Jesus loves you and cares about your life. What other better news could you hear from someone? So I just release it to you this morning. The invitation is this. Pray about who you know in your life. Maybe it's that impossible person. But pray about who God wants you to share those words with. Just eight words. And ask Him to reveal that to you. Maybe you need to come this morning and just ask Him to fill you fresh with His Spirit and strengthen you and encourage you to do that. Maybe you need prayer for something this morning. There's people at the back and the aisles here up the front and will pray with you. But don't pass that up. I don't understand why people don't come for prayer. Because Jesus loves you and He cares about your life. Why not demonstrate that you believe that by letting people engage and impart that to you with prayer, with words of encouragement, with petitions to God? Now's the time for that. This is our ministry time. God wants to minister in this place today, right now. And so let Him. Because He loves you and He cares about your life. Jesus loves you and cares about your life. Father, thank you that you do care about us. Thank you that you love us. You don't just care about us, you love us. You loved us first. Loved us enough to give your son Jesus on for us. And you care enough about us to continue to work in our lives, desire to change our lives, to give us good and not evil. So, Father, help us to embrace those eight words for ourselves first, to look at ourselves through your eyes, ourselves, and see that because of Christ, we are worthy. Through him, we get our worthiness and our righteousness. And because of him, through his Spirit, by his power, we can overcome. We can live in victory. We can live in freedom and not defeat. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus loves us, cares about our lives. He cares about us enough to be sitting at your right hand right now in heaven, praying for us and praying for those that he wants us to see through his eyes. And so, God, you call us to impart those words and that love to others. Help us to see people through your eyes and to speak those eight words to them so that your Spirit can work and move in them through those eight words. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Make sure you fill those connection points out and put your prayer requests on there. And if you made any kind of decision, check that on the back. Let us know so we can encourage you. So, ushers, if you'll come and receive our tithes and offerings, we'll continue to worship God with our tithes and offerings this morning.